When did your love of Halloween begin?
I remember being a little kid and always loving it. I used to dream of monsters. Dreaming that Frankenstein and the Wolfman and Creature from the Black Lagoon were my friends and my monster friends. I would wake up so happy in the morning that I had these dreams. It was a great, great thing for me. My name is Jerry Perino. I'm the founder of the Horror Dome, and I make monsters.
This is Vanguard by Shopify Studios. It's a podcast about how people from unexplored subcultures and unexpected communities make money today. I'm your host, Anshuman Idhamsetti. When Jerry tells people what he does for a living, the reactions are mixed.
They think I'm crazy. They look at me like, what the heck are you doing with that? I mean, sometimes it takes me 5 minutes to explain to people what I do.
There's usually a follow-up question. What happens after Halloween?
This is my answer to people like that. I hope everyone thinks like you, because then it's less competition for me. Well, we have a lot of home haunters. We have a lot of people who buy for Halloween. They buy costumes. We have TV and movie people who buy from us also.
It took years to finesse, but Jerry now has a tidy answer when people ask him about his business.
The Horror Dome is an FX company where we make masks, costumes, props, and animatronics for the haunted house industry, home haunters, and Halloween enthusiasts.
If it isn't obvious already, Jerry really loves what he does. He's been running the Horror Dome since 1999.
I didn't go to college. Didn't really care. You know, I was, you know, the way I grew up, I grew up in Queens, so when I grew up, it was a different kind of atmosphere. Nobody thought about work. We all thought about having a good time. So now I'm having a good time and I'm doing work, which doesn't even feel like work.
But Jerry wasn't always in the FX business. He actually came to it much later in life, when he made the decision to quit his day job at the age of 46.
Basically, we're conditioned to believe that we have to work for other people.
Today on Vanguard, how do you justify leaving your 9-to-5 job to start your own business? Especially when that business, at least on the surface, revolves around one day of the year. Jerry started watching monster movies when he was young, really young.
Probably since I've been about 3 years old.
And one monster stood head and shoulders above the rest.
Frankenstein, only because it's such a human monster that, you know, everybody can relate to it. Just the thought of a monster that was sewn together from five different people, and it's just a cool concept. And that was done, what, Mary Shelley did that in the 1800s.
Hearing Jerry talk, you quickly get a sense of his profound admiration for the concept of fear.
Fear is a primal emotion with us, right? And that's something that almost is as good as making you happy. Because I noticed in haunted houses, when people get scared, they're laughing right after they get scared.
As he got older, Jerry took this awareness of what fear could do to another level.
I remember being a little kid, 8 years old, and start having my own haunted house in my basement where I would invite kids in and scare them. So I guess I always had it in me. I had a couple of ghosts on strings that I would pull, and they would race across the basement floor. We had, had things that popped up. I always was building things when I was a little kid too, models and monsters. So I had a lot of stuff that I can put into the basement to scare kids.
Jerry's now in his mid-50s and has an encyclopedic knowledge of things that go bump in the night.
I probably have over 5,000 monsters in my head that are always floating around, so it's easy to pick one out, you know. I look at my head like a computer sometimes. I just have these ideas and I just know what I want to do at the time. Just yesterday, I had one of my artists, and we were talking about something, and I showed him a picture, and he goes, I always wanted to do that. I go, but it's been done before. So he goes, well, what can we do with it? I said, yeah, here's an idea. Let's have an alien with a human head with an alien bursting out of it, and that'll be a mask. I thought about that in about 2 minutes, and I also came up with another idea, which is kind of creepy, but what about having a human head with a deformed baby's face attached to it, like it's a little twin?
According to Jerry, it all stems from a desire to make a monster no one has seen before.
Something different, something that nobody else has. I hate to have things that's generic, that everybody else is making. It's just copying to me. And if you're an artist, you want to make something that's so different that nobody else has.
But inventing something from scratch comes with its own challenges. Each and every mask, costume, or animatronic takes a lot of time to design and prototype.
It's not like you snap your fingers and a mask is done. So when you get a mask for $60, you don't realize how much work goes into it. There's a lot of work that goes into designing it and making it. To make that first mask takes us about 2 to 3 months. I mean, the sculpture, you know, you have to sculpt it. Then you have to mold it. That takes a little bit of time, that process. Once that mold is done, then you have to pour the latex in there, in that mold, to make the original master copy.
Jerry would be the first to admit that the way they do things at the Horror Dome takes a lot of time. And compared to where the industry is heading, closer to a craft.
Right now, some companies are using printers to print out full masks. And then they take that mask and they, you know, make something out of it. To me, that's not an art. It looks good, it's great and all that, but it's not an art. You're not getting the detail out of a 3D printer that you can get out of a sculptor creating something. And you don't get that personal touch.
Before starting the Horror Dome, Jerry worked a 9-to-5 job as a technician, installing banking and medical equipment. There was plenty of work, and he could provide for his family. And for a while, that was enough. But that all changed in 1999.
I was a technician for about 20 years. It was a good field to be in, but the last position I had, my job was horrible. I hated it for about 3 years. It was just a miserable place to be. That's pretty much when I started the company.
Jerry would come home exhausted, depressed, and buzzing with ideas. He'd spend his nights tinkering with his own animatronic props. After all, Halloween was just around the corner.
You know, when the screen doors open, you have those cylinders with the air in them that open and close the doors and they slow the door down. So I made a jack-in-the-box. It was big. It was like about 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet tall. I had a mask and I made a body and I put it in there on the cylinder on a remote control. And when the kids were coming by, I would pop it up, and it had a horn there also. So popped up the clown, which is more than the clown. It was horrendous, it was scary. I had the horn blasting loud. So not only did they get the pop of the clown, they got the sound of the horn, which also scared them. People were afraid to come to the house. So, and I used to do it to the mailman. I used to do it to everyone who came by, and it was great because it was all on remote control. And I tell you, everyone got scared, and I go, wow, this is so cool. It was just something I always wanted to do, and it came true.
At the same time, Jerry was toying around with the idea of his own website. Remember, this was 1999, and the internet was all so new.
I just did it to pass some time. I always wanted to build a website, and I designed it myself, and people were coming. And as they were coming, I would say, oh, this is something. I mean, we're getting a lot of people a day. And something in me said, hey, you know, this is something that people actually like. Let me start giving directions on how to build things like this.
It also occurred to him that not only would other people enjoy these directions, but they would pay for them too.
I started charging like $3 a prop direction for people to build, and they were buying them.
Soon, Jerry started selling directions for animatronic props made by other Halloween enthusiasts. Things were going well. Traffic was good. But Jerry had a feeling he could do more with his website. Sell other kinds of products, maybe. But what? He had no contacts in the Halloween industry. No connections.
One guy calls me up and he goes, you know, you should really start selling masks. I said, I wouldn't even know how to start that. He gave me all the contact information. He told me which company to go to and buy them. When I started the company, we had nothing. We had about $7,000 in our pockets. And I told my wife, I'm going to take that 7,000 and see if I can buy some masks and maybe we can start selling them. $7,000 at the time was, you know, was a lot to me. Losing $7,000 was like somebody losing $1 million today. It was all I had. And I made $35,000 that year selling those $7,000 worth of masks. I never heard from the guy again. I mean, it was almost like an angel telling me to hurry up and do something with my life.
Meanwhile, Jerry's 9-to-5 job as a technician was only getting worse. He was working long hours, and he felt like the people he reported to didn't care about him or his well-being. But leaving wasn't an option, at least not yet. The way Jerry saw it, work was just something you had to do.
I got married when I was 28 years old, and I got laid off from my job, and I was out of work for two years. I went to go work with 15-year-olds delivering sandwiches in a deli. Work is work. It's always there. I wasn't making much money, but I was working. I'll always have a job. I'll always figure out a job. You know, now, after doing this, do I want to do anything else? No, but if I have to, I will. It's not a big deal to me. I've lived in nice houses, and I've lived in good houses, and I've lived in small houses. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, that's all material stuff, which doesn't mean anything to me.
And it all came to a head one day when Jerry was getting ready for work, back when he was a technician. He was 46, and he was exhausted.
I'm sitting here, my cousin kept telling me, you're doing good with your company. What the heck are you working with this guy for?
That guy being Jerry's boss at the time.
And I said, all right, well, that morning I had to go out on a call, and he told me I was supposed to be there at a certain time, and there was no way I could make it. And he goes, if you're not there at that certain time, you're going to be in big trouble. And that doesn't really fly well with me. So I just told him, you know what? I just quit. And he goes, you're going to quit? I said, I quit this job right now. I'll be in. I'll bring the company car in. I'm done. And I'm sitting there in a car, and my kids were little, and I'm going, what the heck did I just do? I just quit my job, and I'm not even sure if my company is going to make it. And I took a couple of minutes. I sat in the car. I called my wife up. I said, I just quit. And she said, good. And I said, I'm going to make the company grow. I'm going to make the company better. And the next day, I started thinking about plans and how I could grow the company.
Jerry took the $35,000 he made selling his masks and invested the money into a brand new idea. Products he would design himself.
I started seeing the mask sell, and I saw the quality of the masks, and don't get me wrong, a lot of these companies, they started with the Halloween mask, but I never thought they were good.
Remember, at this point, Jerry's main source of income were masks he ordered from other suppliers. They never met his high standards, his attention to detail.
I wanted to come out with something better. I wanted to come out with a product that was actually something that I could be proud of. You know, they were making stuff that I looked at as an artist, and I would go, oh my gosh, it's horrible. You know, why would you paint it that color? Why would you paint it like that? Why wouldn't it look right? I mean, it might be a little bit more higher end, but it's worth it. It's a niche in this industry where I feel like there's a lot of big companies just putting stuff out to make money. Yeah, making money is great, but you know what? If you're going to sell something, it should be the best that it could be. I'm not a guy who was in the Halloween industry or special effects industry, but I always had that kind of talent.
Jerry went looking for someone who had the experience to help him realize his ideas. He got on a plane to California to meet an artist who specialized in making costumes. On his flight, Jerry began to sketch out his designs.
I told him, I'm going to have 8 designs for you. I went in there. And I showed him the designs. He goes, oh, I really like these.
The artist was so impressed by Jerry's sketches that he agreed to make them right away and help sell them.
He did them, and we went to a show that year, and we wound up selling a lot of them. And I said, wow, this is really what I'm probably meant to do.
Jerry's costumes were taking off. They really were unlike anything the Halloween industry had ever seen before. But the real proof of the strength of Jerry's designs was what happened next.
I was on vacation in Florida, and I got a call from Fox News, and Fox News said, "Do you know that Sasquatch costume is yours?" I said, "What Sasquatch costume?" I didn't even know what they were talking about. We had designed a Sasquatch costume in 2006, and two guys from Georgia had purchased it from us, and they put ice on it and, you know, let it get really old-looking. And they stuffed it and put it in the freezer. And then they called up a lot of different people, actually a lot of Sasquatch researchers. And these people were coming from all over the country to come down to where they lived in North Carolina to check it out.
The Sasquatch hoax put the Horror Dome on the map, and it was justified. When you look at the costume, you can't help but feel intimidated. The Sasquatch is intricately detailed, from the strands of scraggly hair down to the chipped nails. It's also very, very tall, over 7 feet.
The first time I got that costume, we had it done and finished. I put it on. It made me feel like a 600-pound monster. It's something that you only could feel when you're inside the costume, you know? I couldn't believe how massive I looked and how big I looked, because the costume does add an extra foot to your height. And when I put that on, I said, I couldn't believe how much it changed me to make me look like something a lot bigger. And that's imposing, you know, and I feel anything imposing is worth making, because that's what people want.
And his customers agreed. Soon, Jerry was inundated with orders.
And it was like a big thing for 2 weeks. We had sold about 200 costumes.
Back then, the Sasquatch costume sold for $470. Which means Jerry made upwards of $94,000 in sales in 14 days. Not bad for a company he started with only $7,000 in the bank.
My daughter was home. She was 11 years old. I swear I never saw a kid work that hard in my life. She was lifting boxes more than any man I know who could do it. I said, this kid could be something one day. You know, maybe she could work for me.
Jerry has been running the Horror Dome for 2 decades. He's seen a lot of things. That also means he's had to deal with the unpleasant side of the Halloween industry. And that may come as a surprise to you, that the business could even have an unpleasant side. I know it did for me.
It's cutthroat, really cutthroat. Cutthroat business. You have to be very careful what you do and what you sell, and who you have make your stuff. You can come up with an idea and they'll take it from you next year and duplicate it.
In fact, competition is everywhere, even with some of the manufacturers he has to rely on.
I had a prototype I sent to a company I was working with in China. It was actually a zombie that crawled on the floor. I put the motor in it, I made it crawl, and it was a cool piece, and I sent it to them. Never heard back from them. 2 years later, everybody else is selling it. It was one of the biggest, cheaper zombie props on the market. Everyone had it. And I'm going, that's what I designed. That's the same piece I designed. And they made a male and female version of it with the same apparatus that I made that made it move.
According to Jerry, the occasional copycat overseas is just the nature of a niche business like his.
That makes me want to do better. That just pushes me to do better.
The real headaches happen much closer to home, often in his backyard. In the early days of the Horror Dome, Jerry was approached by a guy from Long Island, a local.
He wanted us to go and help him with a haunted house. So I said, okay, we'll come. I did some airbrushing on the haunted house, and I did some stuff for him for free, because it was a Long Island company. I figured I'd help him out.
And the owner of the haunted house kept pestering Jerry with questions about the Horror Dome.
Myself, why are they asking questions like this? Why do they keep asking about business and this and like that? And I find out 3 months later, he starts a website to be my competition. You know, they say competition's a good thing. For me, actually, sometimes it is. He drove me to the point where I just wanted to pass him by like a rocket ship.
And even if you make the best, say, two-headed werewolf mask, that kind of quality isn't enough. Customers still have to find your mask and find you. That means you have to rank high in the search results for, again, two-headed werewolves. And Jerry's competition from Long Island, they had a person doing just that, ranking their store higher than his, a practice known as search engine optimization, SEO. So Jerry did a very Jerry thing. He found his competition's SEO guy and called him up.
So I called him up. I said, hey, you ever want to work with us? Let me know. He goes, well, right now it's, you know, it's kind of a conflict of interest because I'm working for a Halloween company. I can't work for you and work, you know, work for both of you. I said, I completely understand. I said, but when you get tired of them, which you will, you come to work for me. He called me back the next year. He goes, Jerry, is that offer still on the table? I go, you're hired. You can work with me. I've had him on our staff now for over 10 years. You can think you have everything set and everything's made right and everything is working the way you want it to work. And then the next year you get something thrown into the system, you know, like a monkey wrench thrown into the system that's messing you up. You got to always constantly evolve with a business. You always have to be changing. It's like a living organism that's constantly moving and you have to always be on top of it.
The Horror Dome of today employs 10 people. They come from all sorts of disciplines: design, sculpture, search engine optimization. And they recently took on a new hire, Jerry's daughter, Danielle.
She just graduated college and business school, and she's working with me. And she started working this year, and she's doing a great job. And I want to hand down the business eventually to her.
What I find remarkable about this moment is how it flips an all-too-common narrative about making your own small business. You stop doing what you love and manage it instead. That's not the case with Jerry.
We can grow the company more now because she can handle more business and I can actually hand it off to her. You know, and I can that leaves me more time to design stuff. I started sculpting a little bit this year. I started molding more stuff that I wanted to make. And I've never been able to do that because I've never had the time to do that. Next year, we're coming out with probably three times the amount of masks that we came out this year. You know, they're already in the works and we're going to start growing a little bit more like that.
Before we wrapped up, I asked Jerry what he found so compelling about monsters.
I guess because they make us human. You know, they scare us. They make us a little bit more aware of things around us. And there are real-life monsters in this world, and they come in human shape, right? And the monsters on TV, they're gone after the movie's over, but they're not there all the time, right? There's something that scares us and excites us for a little bit. But then we can go back to our normal life. So it brings out something in us that we all have that you might not see all the time. It's an emotion that we probably do need.
So is there any monster that scares you?
No, they're my friends. I make them. You know, I mean, I'm not afraid of monsters. And sometimes I wish I was. But I grew up with them in a basement. It's just like a relative.
Jerry Perino is the founder of the Horror Dome. This episode was produced by Michelle McCallum, Katie Jensen, Rachel Rath, Emma Feddersen, and me, Anshuman Idhamsetti. Our score was composed by Jim Guthrie. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks. Before we go, here's a preview of our next episode.
It's really difficult as an anti-capitalist worker-owned cooperative to navigate the rocky terrain of trying to support trans and gender variant folks who don't tend to have access to economic resources by selling things to them.